Okay, I'm gonna finish my piece of cake.
Oh, I see. I see where I fall on this one. I'm gonna sip my Diet Coke. If you're gonna eat, I'm gonna drink.
Welcome to Sticky Pickles! Found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma. Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
And I'm Maria. And this is season 2, episode 25 of Sticky Pickles, the dating episode.
Yeah, we're doing something a little different. Both our stories have dating in them, don't they?
Dating pickles.
But we don't know each other's stories, as usual.
No, we don't.
Mm-mm. So, hilarious if they're similar.
So, Curl, you're up first. Is this another Birdie story?
No.
Oh, okay.
But Birdie's having a nap.
Birdie's gone to bed a little bit.
Yeah, saved the world last time. She needs to rest up.
Okay. So lay it on me. What is your dating pickle, Curl?
Alrighty. We meet Shirley. Maria, meet Shirley.
Shirley
works in a bakery, front of house.
She surely does.
Yeah, in the local neighborhood. And, you know, she's pretty new there. She's been at this particular place in this particular neighborhood for about 3 weeks.
Okay.
And Arthur knows this because he's been going to that very bakery every morning to get his coffee and blueberry muffin for almost a decade. Mm. So he knows.
Good muffins.
Yeah, it's just he's, you know, he does that every day. So week one, she was nice, but nervous and distracted and, you know, kind of just clumsy and didn't know where anything was and a bit slow and all that. And week two, she's getting her groove on.
Okay. Is this a meet cute? Are we entering a meet cute?
We might be. She starts kind of saying, how are you, when Arthur arrives. In week three, she smiles and laughs at his turtle joke about the weather.
His turtle joke?
Okay, should I tell you the joke?
Oh, my God. All right, lay it on me.
It's really short. It's really short. But it's actually a visual joke, so this is a really shitty thing to put in the story.
I love it.
I need you to imagine two turtles talking. One turtle has quite an overhang on his overlip. His over beak.
Over
mouth.
Over.
I don't know what it's called.
Does he have an underbite or an overbite?
He has an overbite, right. And the other turtle has an underbite.
Okay.
So the underbite turtle says to the overbite turtle, hey, does your mouth fill up with rain when it rains? And the overbite turtle says no. Yes.
Wait, where's the punchline?
Well, you see, if you do the faces.
I mean, I get it, but it's not.
A Dutch person told me that joke.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Yes.
She laughed, right? She laughed. And for Arthur, this is a sign because, you know, Shirley, she's the ticket. She's a hot ticket.
Because she laughed at the dumb turtle joke.
Because she's nice to him. She doesn't ignore him. She answers his questions.
She has a pulse. Oh, she's a winner. She's nice to him and doesn't ignore him. Okay. All right.
And he says to himself, Arthur, I'm going to ask this girl out tomorrow. And this is a big effing deal because Arthur hasn't dated successfully in years.
Is he like appropriate aged or is he like
totally.
Okay.
Yeah, totally, totally around the same age, whatever. Yeah. Okay. Early 30s, about the same.
Okay. Good, good, good. Yeah. So none of that weirdness. Okay.
Yeah. And like basically between us and the listener, you know, for the last 5 years, he's not even had a smoochie, right? So it's been dry. So he's flipping nervous. He's sweating, but trying to act super cash, you know, on the morning that he's going to go in to ask her for the date.
Oh, goodness.
Shoulders are really quite low back. Like, he looks like he's ready to limbo, you know? He's kind of, he's over-exaggerating his casuality.
I'm totally cool. This is not me being nervous or worried about getting rejected. I am very used to this and definitely have lots of sex. Yes. No suspicion.
Crotch forward.
Yes, let's do this, person that doesn't know what's coming, because I am definitely not projecting my nervousness at all. Okay, got it.
So she turns and she says, cappuccino and blueberry muffin.
With a little hair flip while she says it.
And he swallows and he's like, oh my God, that's totally a sign, right?
So he just swallows. Yes. Yeah,
he swallows and he says, you're new here. You need a friendly face to show you around the neighborhood. How about after work tomorrow? And she goes, okay. And he's just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And he pays and leaves.
Wait. It's been 3 weeks and he drops the year new year.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. I will allow it. That's still kind of new. Okay. Yeah. I'm being pedantic.
He starts making a plan. He's going to pick her up at work exactly at 5:01. He's going to take her out for a cocktail and a walk around the park. And he goes out and buys new clothes, washes them, irons them, and actually burns the back of his shirt because he never really irons very well.
Yeah. Right? Who does that anymore?
Yep. Yeah. He bought himself some new Doc Martens. And he takes a shower and he shaves. And,
okay, the showering is important. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so he's very excited. And he picks her up promptly, 5:01, outside work.
Wow.
And she's like wearing jeans and a long sleeve t-shirt. And she's like, why are you all dressed up? Did you have an interview today or something?
I mean, she just got off work. So she's wearing, it's not like she had time to run home. So she's probably covered in like cake batter or whatever and coffee.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he kind of looks at her, but he doesn't say anything. Because if you go into Arthur's head, he's totally tongue-tied. And he's just going, holy fuck, I can feel the sweat begin to bead on my brow. And if it falls, this is going to be a nightmare. But Shirley kind of sees, and she's like, are you okay? She's looking worried. And he's like, fuck. He goes, everything's fine. This way, come on, let's go. And he kind of takes off at quite a fast walking pace, like rucking.
Doesn't realize that she's like 20 steps behind and trying to keep up. Like, what's up with this
dude?
Yeah,
she's trotting. She's actually trotting.
Does he have to go for a poop? Like, why is he walking so fast?
He's walking. He keeps showing off every monument and he's listing off the person on the monument, the date, the reason it's there, every building, every landmark. Like, he's memorized swathes and swathes of Wikipedia. Which, between us, guys, that's exactly what he did. Because he seriously prepared for this date. He wasn't going to let it go, you know, by the wayside like the others have.
He prepared for it like a job interview.
Wow. You know, he takes his stuff seriously.
Oh, is the twist that he wants her job?
No.
Is he trying to social engineer her out of her job and be like, I'm going to replace you at your job? No? Okay, not that. Okay, we're not going dark.
No, this is not a dark episode. Not yet.
Ooh.
Arthur and Shirley end up at an upmarket cocktail bar, which was chosen by Arthur with some help. And he leads her to her booth and he says, watch this. When the waiter arrives, he says, a glass of champagne for the lady and a Shirley Temple for me. And he winks at Shirley.
No. Wait, you said he's in his 30s, right?
Yep.
No.
And this is the moment. This is the moment when Shirley realizes that this is a date, right? Not a mooch around town, show you where the cool places are. And she realizes that Arthur's acting bonkers because
he's nervous.
On
he likes her.
A date.
And yeah. Yeah.
She doesn't feel the same way. And she's kind of a bit blindsided at this stage, right?
Okay.
She just did not. And she's about to kind of say to him, hey, I like to get to know you as a friend or something. You know, she's about to say something. Like, I thought this was a friendly thing. When the phone rings and he smiles broadly, like for the first time that evening. And he goes, oh, goodness, it's Mom. She's kind of excited that I'm on a proper adult date for the first time. I got to take this.
Oh, no.
And Shirley thinks this is perfect because it'll give her time to think it, right? So she'll get a few minutes just to go, what the fuck am I going to do here?
Oh, God. I've been on this date.
I've been on this date.
Yeah, I'm. Oh, man, you just dug up some memories for me that I had buried. And I ended up marrying that guy. No, I'm kidding. No. But there was a guy I dated before I met my husband that was, literally, this was our only date. It was so much like this. I can't even begin. I'm full body cringing. And like, I wish this was video right now because I just sank in my chair going, oh God, I forgot all about this guy. And you just reminded me with the call to his mom thing. Oh, man, I have such a story. Maybe when the microphone's off, I'll tell you. Oh, my God.
You can tell us on air if you like.
Oh, he worked for NASA.
Ooh, important job.
But he was just like Arthur, as far as I can tell, anyway. And it was the most awkward date I'd ever been on. And for all I know, the dude was lying, but I think he was like a subcontractor for NASA. So I was like, I subcontract for NASA. Anyway, and I was like, that's cool. I'm a nerd. This is really interesting.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
anyway, it was basically like a job interview with a dude who, like, yeah, mommy's really proud that I'm on a date. Is like, oh, I'm gonna go to the bathroom and not come back. Bye. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the phone's ringing, right?
Yes.
And so she's. But rather than walk away, Maria, he puts her on speakerphone. And he says,
oh, no! No! God!
And he says,
run! Do not walk! Run! Away! Dude, quit your job, burn the bakery down, move to another country, change your name.
Get out of Dodge.
And I say this as someone who lived with their parents as an adult for a while. That is a no. Do not do that. Do not. I don't know where this is going to go, but it almost doesn't even matter to me anymore. I'm just like, no. Okay. But I'm curious how you turn this around.
And Arthur says, hi, Mom. Shirley's right here with me. Call me back on video chat.
No! It got worse. It got worse.
So,
no.
Shirley is like, puts her head out. I'll go to the bar and wait, right? And Arthur says, no, she wants to meet you. No. And the phone rings and he answers immediately. And Shirley hears, hello, my mighty cub. And she just kind of almost like, what? And Arthur looks at Shirley and mouths, that's what she calls me. And shrugs that, what are you going to do? Shrug.
Where's the hidden camera? Seriously, where's the crew? Where's the hidden camera? What, like, oh, God
and
almighty.
She goes, and then she hears the phone, oh my goodness, let me meet her. I'm dying to meet Shirley. Shirley, what a beautiful name. Beautiful name. Oh, my grown-up cub has gladded himself a top drawer. Classy girl, look at you. You're beautiful. You kids having fun?
Thanks.
Yeah, Mom, we just got here. And the mom interrupts. Shirley said nothing through all this.
Yeah.
Goes, Shirley, what do you think of his outfit? He sent me a screenshot earlier, and I think he looks absolutely smashing.
Is Arthur neurotypical or is he neurodivergent? Like, is it, do we know? Does it matter?
No, all I know about him is he played a lot of video games and ate a lot of Pringles through his 20s. So I don't know if that has any lasting effect on people.
No, I mean, like, we don't think Arthur's like, so is he otherwise seems like a normal man of his age?
Yes, I would say we're all like special in our own way, but he's not labeled. He's not.
No, okay. Yeah. So he is genuinely.
He's labelless.
He's just genuinely a mama's boy, I guess. Okay.
Yep. And so Shirley hears she hears the mom go, Shirley, you bounced out a shot. I can't see you. And because she was trying to just scooch out slowly, when you can do it imperceptibly so no one notices.
Just like, oh, I'm falling off the chair. Oh, I'm off the door. Yeah. Okay, bye.
She slides back in, smiling that frozen smile. Now, the thing is, Maria, it goes on for 10 minutes.
No.
Literally.
No.
He puts the phone down on the table, angling it against some table junk so that mom can see both of them at all times.
No.
And she's like inspecting Shirley's clothing choices.
No. Why is Shirley still there? Shirley.
Because it's kind of like she's in shock. When you get... you just can't move. You can't believe this is happening to you.
She's frozen for 10 minutes.
Well, mom doesn't let anyone breathe, really. She's very excited about her little, what you call a mighty cub.
Yeah. Well, those apron strings are tied real tight is what I'm understanding. Okay.
And then Shirley then goes, there's a lot of blah, blah. And she goes, what beer are you drinking? And Shirley tells her and she goes, I'll make sure I have that same beer in the fridge when you come for Sunday dinner. You have invited her, Arthur, right, my mighty cub? Now, you're Shirley, Maria.
Surely I am, yes.
Shirley, you're Shirley.
Shirley, I'm Shirley.
Okay, and you're in that situation. You've waited the 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You've realized mom is a frickin' car crash and the son is still suckling.
Oh God, what a choice of words. I'm gonna give it to Shirley that was very polite of her to not like actually just get up and leave. I would have politely made some excuses maybe like 30 seconds after it was mom on the phone and been like, this is either some kind of weird joke or I have to go shit myself in the bathroom, bye. Or like, I would have been I don't know why I keep making it so scatological. But like, I would have just been like, oh, I see a friend over there. I haven't seen her in ages. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Or I don't know. I would have been basically kind of rude. I would not normally do that, but I don't. There's no way this is going to go well. This is just beyond this. If the person asking you out doesn't realize how weird that is, there's just no hope. So like, and to some degree, maybe they don't understand social cues or something. So you just have to make it very obvious that you just need to go. Because they'll be like, I don't understand what went wrong.
Yeah, because people don't come with like a playbook, right? It's not like they hand it over to you and go, this is my interest. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. And it's actually true. And you can kind of, you know, circumnavigate all that appropriately. Like, you have no idea.
Well, like, but introducing your mom by video chat, literally when you've just taken someone out to coffee, like, unless you're interviewing for a job with mom, like, why? What? I mean, why? So if you don't know that that's just super weird, then I'd be like, there's no need to pretend nicety here. Like,
he might be trying to show, hey, I get on with my mom, right?
There's a time and place for that. It is not when you literally are on a
date one.
No.
And it's on a non-date one.
This is date zero. This is literally like, what's your last name? I mean,
yeah. Like, and that's the other thing. Like, I think the word date is kind of become unclear, right? Like, a date should be a date, or, you know, a hangout should be a hangout or whatever. But
yeah,
it'd be a minefield if someone just says, you know, I don't know, crazy.
Being of the nerdy geeky type myself, where they always say that odds are good, but the goods are odd, is sort of the thing. And that goes in all directions in terms of who you're dating. I have found through experience that you have to be like really clear sometimes with someone who's really awkward. You don't have to be like rude, but you just, if you don't kind of stand up and go,
this is not what for me,
this is not going to work. Yeah. And like, you will be there for like an hour awkwardly trying
or
to
a
like,
lifetime.
Yeah. Like just trying to get out of that situation. And the other person has no idea. And it's not that the other person's trying to be mean to you. They just don't know. So you have to sometimes just be like, push past your own boundary of like, I have to be a little mean and be like, I'm sorry, this is not going to work. It was very nice to meet you. But like, I have to go, like, I'm sorry, I forgot I have an appointment. You can make a polite excuse, but like, just get out of there.
I just heard this podcast. I think it was on Hidden Brain. And the episode was about this woman who was, retelling a story from when she was a kid. But basically, a guy did something similar and she ended up marrying him. I'm not even kidding. I'm going to send it to you after the show. It's going to go in the show notes.
No, you awkward your way into marriage.
Yes,
you
she know, awkwarded that, her way into marriage, literally.
And
she
got it clearly works for some people. I mean, but what a terrible thing to do. Be like,
what
actually,
a terrible thing to do.
Like it's from the school of, if I would just wear her down by being extremely annoying for years, eventually she'll say yes, which is terrible also. Do not do that.
But you know how in you're saying here, like he's not following social cues, which I totally agree. Like this is unusual behavior for a first date or even a first meeting. It's ridiculous.
Like he could be a very neurotypical type guy and just not realize that being attached to your mom is just weird, because how would you know? This is your only mom, right? He could maybe, especially if he's not experienced at dating, gee, I wonder why, he just might not know. So like, unfortunately, Shirley has to be the person introduced and be like, I'm sorry, I have to go. You don't have to be like, fuck you, dude. But you can be like, I'm sorry, I forgot I had a thing at like 5 minutes ago. I have to go. I'm sorry. It was really nice to meet you.
I'm just saying she just did 10 minutes. She didn't marry the guy like this woman did.
That's 10 minutes too long. I would have been like 30 seconds into that being like, oh, look at the freckle. I have to go. I'm sorry.
Do you know what? She agreed, because she just suddenly looked at Arthur and at the mom and then back at Arthur and said, sorry, diarrhea, and scarpered the heck out of there.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, diarrhea. That
and she made sure to hold her butt cheeks as she was running, just for a strong visual.
I suppose that should be the new name of our podcast, because I feel like this is just solid advice at all times. Just sorry, diarrhea, and then everybody, we all get it.
Yeah, the picklets get it. Yeah. So Maria, your turn. Your dating saga. Tell me all about it.
My dating saga. It's more of a dating / friendship issue. So we have two buddies, Damien and Trini, and they've known each other for maybe like 3 years. They're at that age in their mid-20s where they're all trying to maybe find a long-term relationship. But they're good buddies. They've known each other for the 3 years. And Trini is a straight woman, mm-hmm. and Damien is a bisexual man.
Okay. And they've been dating for how long, sorry?
No, they are not dating. They are friends.
Friends, friends. No dating.
Friends, friends. So they've dated other people, and you know, they'll do the download, you know, like, oh, I saw this guy, sort of like you and I just did, like, oh yeah, I dated that guy from NASA. Yeah. Like, we literally went on a NASA date.
Yeah.
And it was terrible, and now I hate myself. No. And they'll do the date downloads and be like, yeah, I saw that guy. We went on like 2 dates, but there was no chemistry, blah, blah, that kind of thing. And so Trini knows that sometimes Damien dates guys, sometimes Damien dates girls, and sometimes Damien dates non-binary people, whatever. Damien's pretty open-minded about who he dates. As long as there's like some connection, he'll date them. It's been a bit of a dry spell for Damien. So Trini is very proud of her matchmaking skills. She has matched up a number of her friends, like matching a coworker with a friend of hers, or like matching people at parties being like, oh, I met that guy over there and I think you'd really get along with her. And like, she's got a gift for this. Some people just do. I don't know if you know anybody like that. Like, some people are just amazing at just reading a person and being like, you're going to get along really well with this other person.
I don't know. I feel like I'm good at that, but I wonder if most people think they're good at that.
No, I'm not.
No?
I would tell you 1,000,000,000% I'm not. Like, I've had friends ask me to help them with this and I'll be like, I can set you up with somebody who I would recommend for you if they're basically my clone. And if you want to date a me clone, because that's the only kind of person I understand. I don't understand other people. So I'm garbage at it. And I've told you, like, don't ask me to do that. I've had people ask. Don't ask me. Trini's good at it. So since Damien's basically going, look, my friend Trini, you have the gift. Please help me. And I'm open to dating whomever. You know, if you guy or girl or whoever, I'm just give me a recommendation on somebody. So Trini thinks a little bit. She's like, you know what? I've actually been talking about you with my old friend Laureen. And Laureen and I go back to like high school. So we've known each other a long time and we're not like super in each other's orbits, but we go back a ways and we've been talking all these years.
Like a good an old friend, not necessarily a close friend.
Yeah, but like, you know, when you know somebody a long time, you just accumulate knowledge about them. So like, she knows that Laureen is cool. And like, she's told Laureen, like, hey, my buddy Damien's bisexual. And like, you know, here are all his escapades. And you know, not because he's bi, but just because this is who Damien is. And Laureen's like, oh, Damien sounds like a cool dude. And Trini kind of was feeling out the waters, like, Laureen's sort of like open to meeting him. And Damien goes, okay, if you can vouch for Laureen and you can say that she's not going to be like a weirdo, then sure, I'm open to meeting her because you said that she's cool.
I would be more sure about my oldest friends than I would be about my newer friends, like easily.
Interesting.
Like in recommending them. Yeah. Like the ones I mean, I feel like I know them better. So I would be able to kind of go, you know, I don't know, she lies a lot, but she's really fun.
Or, you
know,
bitch.
Or she's a klepto, but, you know.
I guess it depends on how long I've known them, because if it's a friend of mine that I've known since middle school, my image of them, or like middle school or high school, my image of them is very frozen in time of them in those very formative years, and people do change a lot, right?
That's true. That's probably, I'm probably snowed and just assuming they're the same person. Okay.
Yeah, because some people don't change that much and some people are hugely different.
Yeah.
So Laureen and Damien agree to meet since Trini set them up and they love Trini. So they go on a date, a little of their first little date. Let's say it's a different bar than we're
like a blind date.
Well, I mean, they know they're going to meet each other. Is this a blind date?
Well, they haven't seen
if
each
they know
other.
Each other.
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose. I guess. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess it is a blind
date.
It's
old school, maybe, but that's what we used to call it.
Yeah. I always thought blind date was when you don't know like anything about the other person, but I guess you're right. So they meet up at a bar. And it's inoffensive. And they sit down doing the get to know yous.
Yeah.
And the topic after the first 15 minutes of like, who are you? How do you know Trini? Blah, blah, blah. Changes quite swiftly to Laureen starting to dig into Damien's sexual history.
Okay. Because he's bi.
Because he's bi and he's openly bi.
And she knows that.
She does. And she's basically
okay.
Like,
uh-huh.
So like, you date guys? Have you had sex with guys? How many guys have you had sex with? What's it like having sex with guys? What do you think about having sex with guys versus having sex with girls? Which one would you prefer if somebody put a gun to your head? These kinds of questions.
Uh-huh.
And Damien's like, what the fuck? Why am I being interrogated about this? This is super rude and intrusive.
Oh my God, and I'm like, Lorraine. I'm Lorraine. I'm totally Lorraine. I would totally do that. I'd be so fascinated. I'd want to know, right?
Well, but like when you within 15 minutes of meeting somebody and being like, I know almost nothing about you, but I'm going to treat you like an animal in the zoo.
If I did all the nicey-nicey shit, I'd want to get down to the, you know, the steak and potatoes. Yeah.
But there's curiosity and then there's sort of the like, ew, you date guys?
Oh, I wouldn't say ooh. No.
Right.
I wouldn't be there if I thought ooh, right?
It started out to Damien like curiosity and then it starts veering down the ew. Really? Oh. It's like that? Ugh. God. How can you? And they do.
What? How can you touch a penis? Like
that? No. She's straight, so she understands.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. No, she's more. It's, you know what? I'm not going to get into logistics, but her reactions start going from, I suppose, idle curiosity into like judgy and frankly, homophobic. Oh. And Damien's no idiot. He's been down this road before and he's like, you know what? This is not cool. This is really not cool. So he's like, you know, Lorraine, it was really nice to meet you. Basically, he pulls at me. He goes like, it was really nice to meet you, but my freckle's telling me I got to be somewhere. So
yeah.
He pieces out.
Okay. Because he's just like, I don't like be under the interrogation. This isn't cool. It's actually turning me right off. I'm out of here.
It's judgy. And like, it's not even like I wouldn't date this person. It's I wouldn't even talk to a person like this. Like anybody.
Like, why the fuck are you here, Lorraine?
Right. Yeah. Like, you knew this about me and why are you being weird about it and an asshole about it? So that date's clearly a disaster. So, you know, a few days later, Damien and Trini meet up because they're buddies. And Trini wants the download on how it went. And Damien is basically like, you set me up with somebody really bad. Like, I'm not even like you brag to people all the time that you're a great matchmaker. You're telling everybody you can set up anybody with anybody. That was not just a bad date. That was like a terrible, like that Lorraine's a shitty person, frankly.
Wow.
How are you being so proud of your, like, you know, I've known you for a few years and you're so proud of your skills there, but that was quite a miss. And he's looking at Trini's face and he thought that she would just kind of take this feedback and be like, man, I didn't know that about Lorraine. There are tears streaming down Trini's face.
I think, you know, honestly, when you were saying that, my lips started to quiver. Because I'm totally identified with Trini now. So.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm identifying with everybody. I'd be like, I don't know. I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, and the thing that really seems to get the tears going in Trini's eyes are when Damien goes, how could you set me up with someone who's so clearly wrong for me?
But, you know, that's the thing. Like, different people, that's like a kind of direct, like, hit, right? It's like, basically, you think you're good at something, and guess what? You fucked up, is what the message is, no matter how it's being said.
And this is quite the fuck up. Like, it's a big, 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 like...
Colossally bad date.
Colossally bad. So, and Trini does the whole, like, run, you know, dramatic running out the room and slams the door behind her. Like they part on awkward terms.
Yeah, I'm identifying with Trini because I would be like, I tried. I did it out of the goodness of my heart. I didn't have to do it. I did it for you. And I didn't mean to screw up. You should know that. And how could you be yelling at me like this?
But Damien trusted Trini, and that date was not just a waste of his time, but really insulting. Lorraine sucks. So, I mean, nobody's happy in this situation. This is the pause point. So, because there is a conclusion to this story, but I'm very curious to hear what you think happens next.
Right. So, I'm like, first, is your friendship more important than the stupid date? Because all you can do is go, guess what, Trini? You never get to choose a date for me again, and we'll stay buddies forever. High five. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's kiss and make up. Right? Uh-huh. That's what I'd want to happen. So I'm going for that. That's what happens. Right?
You're going NBD, like, let's just move past
it. Yes, let's just move past it.
Let's just move past it.
Because, you know.
A friendship is stronger than this.
Surely Trini wouldn't have known about...
Lorraine being a raging asshole.
Lorraine being a fucking biggity, big, big, bigot.
It's possible. It's possible. Although Damien suspects that Trini did know, and that's part of what makes this so painful.
Well, then get new friends. Yeah. Okay, go. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. So Damien and Trini have known each other for a good 3 years. And like, you know, that's not a friendship you generally just toss aside that quickly.
No. So I agree.
The thing that gets Damien is that it seems like his accusation in Trini's direction when he goes, you know, how could you set me up with someone so bad for me? It seems like that really got Trini, like, really under her skin. And he can't shake that. Because he's like, what does it mean? Like, would she actually set me up with someone knowing that they're really bad for me?
Because she's in love with him!
Hey!
Finally, I'm so slow at these things. Oh my God.
You cracked it.
Yay. So he figures that out.
He starts to suspect. He starts to suspect that maybe she did it on purpose.
Because she cares so much.
Right.
When he basically said, this is your fault, she was like, no, that's not what's supposed to happen at all.
That's so basically he calls her up and they have the conversation and she admits that she set him up with someone so bad in hopes that it would drive him to her.
Well, it freaking worked, right? Because they're dating now?
Yay! Oh, yay!
Yeah, they decide to give it a go.
What a way to end an episode. Oh, my God. I'm stretched
Happy
out.
Ending?
I'm stretched out. My hands are in the air. I'm like, oh, this is lovely. Fabulous.
Fuck the homophobes. Yay for dating. Yay! You cracked it. I finally got you to crack
but
one.
But yeah, but it was late, though. That's nothing to be impressed with. Come on. I got to up my game.
Oh!
I'll get there,
oh,
Maria.
Damn.
I'll get there.
Oh, man. I need to invent a time
Maria
machine.
Clouseau. That's it for this week's Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Subscribe and review. And a number of you have, so thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much. And if you want to get in touch with us on the social media, like Twitter, for example, just add us at Sticky Pickles. And if you're on Instagram, you can do at Sticky Pickles Pod and we'll say hi. And anything else you want to do, you can find at stickypickles.com. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We love you. Bye.
Why did I say the bye so weird?
I don't know. It's great. Say it. Okay, let's both say it weird. Goodbye.
Bye. I can't do it.
Why don't we do it like our characters? I'll do it like Arthur would. Bye.
Okay. Let's see. If I'm going to do it like Damien, I need to sit awkwardly in my chair. Hold on. Okay. Bye.
That is why we're not actors.
No, it's... we're mere podcasters.
Exactly.